I love how each of those pieces kind of reflect something that you have to grapple with. And when people see you do this in concert or just watch the DVD, you know, that tells us more about what you're going through as you play them. And I wonder, in the scope of the whole project, what you're going through, what you have gone through, what were the biggest unexpected challenges that you had? You no doubt had expected challenges. You mapped it out. You had this budget from Annenberg. You had your master's to build on. So you knew some things were just going to be hard or at least big, right? Yeah. But is there anything that came up in the process of production and recording and everything that just turned out to be more difficult than you thought it was going to be?
You know what was really hard was editing. I hadn't really thought about that.
Okay.
I kind of thought, I'm going to, you know, prepare for this recording and I'm going to do the best I can. And then at the end, I'll have a CD.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
And there's this whole other step, which involves me sitting at a desk with headphones and the score, listening to myself play all the mistakes.
Yes, definitely.
That's hard.
Yeah. I mean, I think maybe some people who don't play music might get a tiny sense of this if they've ever had to, like, endure watching themselves or hearing themselves speak. And we do this in radio all the time. And musicians do this all the time, that one of the hardest things is to confront your own performance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and actually along those lines. So, you know, I mean, I'm a professional violinist. I don't necessarily love editing my performing, but it is part of the job.
Yeah.
One thing that makes this project unique was that I wrote a script and I had to record it. And so not only was I confronting my own capabilities as a performer, I also had to listen to myself talk for many hours.
Yes, you did.
And that's hard too.
Yeah, and then even as you're listening, you're thinking, wait, is there a better way of doing that? Is there a better way of explaining this? Or
right.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Now this makes a lot of sense. Yeah, that the hardest, or maybe the biggest unexpected challenge is just like having to work on your own thing, the editing of both the speaking and the playing.
Well, and I think part of it too is that as a performer, I'm so used to this process of preparing for one moment and giving it my all and then kind of having to leave it there, that there isn't really the obligation to grapple with what you've done. You kind of wait for other people to come to you and say it was good or oops.
Yeah. Well, no, it never happens.
Most of the time it's good. But
yeah.
So having to come up with that process by myself. And I shouldn't say that I did it by myself because my audio crew was amazing.
Sure.
And the CD sounds good. It doesn't. There aren't mistakes.
Yeah.
And same for the DVD. You know, so it was the same thing of watching, you know, listening to myself play, but also like watching my face while I'm doing it and making sure that I wasn't doing something weird or that my hair was in place or just all of these components that I was so focused on doing the thing that I hadn't really thought about what it would feel like when it was done.
Yeah, it's what you just mentioned is partly that thing that a lot of the opera singers are talking about now. That now that so much of opera is being video transmitted from one way or another, that there's so much of a premium now on their TV acting, and by that I mean like facial expressions, the small scale acting, and as an orchestral or as a player of an orchestral instrument, I should say. I know you do chamber and solo and orchestral playing, but that's not something that rises to the top of the priority list very early on. I mean, that's like, wait a minute, wow, I did all this other work and now I have to think about this too.
Right.
Yeah. Well, tell me about the Annenberg Award. I mean, is that something that was that an application thing that you did, or was it that you were nominated for it? I mean, it sounds like an amazing award, and I'm just curious how that came to you.
I'm pretty much the luckiest girl in the world.
Yeah.
So I think because I had done these projects at NEC, and I mean, I did well at NEC, and I won the school competitions, and I had a great school experience and was a good part of the community, and that was noticed and valued. So as a young alum, I was called in to the president's office one day and they said, okay, so where is your career going? What do you see yourself doing? And so I told them. And then a couple months later, I got an email that said, congratulations, you've been nominated for this award. And so what that meant was that they had submitted my name and my website and a whole bunch of things about me to the Annenberg Fellowship Fund.
Okay.
A large number of institutions in the arts, and not just in classical music, in jazz, in writing, in ballet, in visual arts, in acting, a large number of institutions are solicited for promising young alumni to support. And so everyone gets to submit one name per year. And so I was really lucky that NEC submitted my name.
Yeah.
Of that pool of submissions, then the fund goes through and selects 10 people to apply for this grant.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The grant is $50,000 a year for up to 2 years to launch your career. And so as I was nominated, I had the opportunity to submit a proposal for what I would do with $50,000.
Jeez.
So I submitted the budget.
That would take a weekend to think through, wouldn't it?
Oh my gosh. It was so much work.
Yeah.
But I felt really fortunate that I actually knew exactly what I wanted to do, that I had done these projects, and I really believed in both the quality of my work, but also my mission to bring new audiences to classical music, or to make classical music less scary to someone who doesn't know everything about it.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, shoot, I want to do one of my multimedia recitals in New York City. That's what I would like to do. And the more research I did, the more I talked with people in the field about just about this application. They said, Well, you should really do a CD, and you should probably do this over 2 years, because this 1 year is not enough time to do all this, right?
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, if I'm going to do a CD, the whole thing about my project that makes it interesting is the visual. So I should probably do a DVD too. And then they said, well, if you're going to do it in New York, you should probably try to do it other places too. So you should probably try to do a tour. So that you can see how this whole thing just kind of came from, like, one weekend of planning, like you said, to this two-year idea.
Yeah. Yeah. That's tremendous. I mean, that is such a yes, I can see why you feel like the luckiest person in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, that is not just because they have this program to support young artists of all different kinds, but also that that there was enough feedback from your concept to grow it into something larger. And that makes me wonder. So the initial question asked to you was, what do you think about your career? And now, what's the answer to that question? And how has this process and Chacona affected that? Do you see more projects like this? Has it had a sort of the effect of sort of clarifying some of what you want to try to do in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There is another project coming.
Oh, good.
I'm not allowed to say yet where or when, but
understandable.
It's going to be roughly in spring 2020, and that's already a done deal. I'm not going to tell you what it's about, but stay tuned.
Okay, that's fine. And you know, the thing is that I guess part of what I'm curious about is that someone such as yourself who goes through a major music school, you know, it's not really as clearly defined what someone should do with that degree as maybe some people think it would be, right? There are many, many musicians who know exactly kind of where they're headed, and you know, whether that means that they go and get a job in an orchestra right away or as soon as they can, given the audition process, or they know that now they've done this part of their work, they want to also do administration. They might, you know, kind of study arts administration. Maybe they want to run a festival. I mean, so you have a lot of choices, you know? And that's why I think it's interesting to sort of consider, like, where were you a few years ago when this came up? And where are you now that you're sort of through the process?
Yeah. this project changed my life.
Okay.
Absolutely. There's something about telling people that someone gave me $100,000 for my idea that makes people take you seriously.
Yeah.
In a totally different way. But I think also having a CD, having a DVD, which not very many people do,
right,
has just made me more accessible. More people know about me. The CD was featured in the New York Times a couple weeks ago. My website is up and running. So I'm just more visible,
yeah,
in the classical music scene,
yeah,
because of this project. And that has led to more solo engagements, both this year and especially next year.
Yeah.
So it's been exciting to see that this project has led not only to other multimedia projects, but just to a more diverse musical performing life. And that's really exciting.
Well, and I know you perform with many, many collaborators. The two that I sort of think of you with are A Far Cry and the Chameleon Arts Ensemble, both of whom also sort of take this approach to classical music that you even initially started out with as a teenager or so, when you wanted to sort of think, how does someone reshape programming or reinvigorate programming? And so it must be really cool to have this project as something you can use to talk about all these ideas with your collaborators in those two ensembles.
Absolutely. I feel so lucky to get to play with both groups, A Far Cry and Chameleon. And I think that's something that's really special about Boston as a musical town, is just the sheer breadth and energy and quality of music making. You know, we're not as big as New York City, but we are just as good.
Yeah.
And it's a great place to be as a young musician. I teach a lot. Lots of people are interested in classical music, are willing to try different ideas and try different kinds of concerts. And I feel so lucky to have the support of both groups sort of going forward, that I get to play really great music here at home and then try different things on the road.
Right, right. Well, Robin Bolliger, thanks so much for coming into the studio and talking about it. It's a fascinating project. Congratulations, and thanks again.
Thank you.